the meeting at about 8:01 or 8:02.
I got the whole pile.
Is that recording for our secretary? Franklin?
It's recording.
I want the minutes.
We'll call the meeting to order. It's 8:02. Why don't we do a roll call around who's here? I think we have a quorum. Mayor? Former mayor?
Former mayor. Bill Nelson.
Ex-mayor.
Council member.
Lynn Doty.
John Bogart.
Frank Davies.
Brad Reese.
Former mayor.
Joe McCarthy.
Harold Hewitt.
Bill Underwood.
Dennis Kuloy.
Welcome, Dennis. We're like, glad to see you. Everything doing well? Okay.
Getting better.
Good.
Steve Frank.
So with that, let's have a pledge of allegiance. We don't have to use Dennis's shirt this morning, it looks like, but we can use the flag.
But you're standing here.
But maybe we'll let Dennis lead us in this.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment? Looks like we don't have any public, so they probably don't have any comment. Discussion items. Welcome, Frank. Frank, you want to introduce yourself? I think everybody knows you, but give a little bit of your background first.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Frank Davies, your new finance director. Excuse me, replacing Michelle. Prior to coming here, I worked at the County of Orange. All my career was with the Auditor Controller. Started out as a staff accountant, worked myself up to senior management, and at one point, part of the executive team. Excuse me. Through rotations, through promotions, which was a good program there, was assigned to various areas of the office, supporting different parts of the county. Was in CEO Public Finance. I think that may be where I first met Steve. Was in internal audit as a manager there. Was the accounting manager for John Wayne Airport for a few years. And very interesting working at airport. And this was right after 9/11 too, so quite a bit of activity. Recently was head of the property tax section for the Auditor Controller. The main responsibilities was to establish and maintain the county's almost $600 billion property tax roll, and also to make sure that everyone that we appropriately distributed about $6 billion of property tax each year. So, got my undergrad at Cal State Fullerton and MBA at Long Beach State. Yes. And I am a CPA with an active license. So, thank you all for letting me be here, and it's a great opportunity. I look forward to serving the city of Villa Park.
Well, great. Awesome. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah,
you've been on the job about a month and a half.
A lot of experience.
Yes, exactly. Most of it is in the accounting area, but I think that's my real strength. But I have experience in the other areas, public finance, et cetera. So.
How long were you with the county?
A little over 33 years.
Wow.
Just a short stint.
Yeah. Jump around, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can don't need as many digits across your spreadsheets now.
That's right.
What did you say, 88? How much are the property tax rolls? Eight.
Well,
The property tax roll, which is the assessed value for all county, is almost $600 billion.
$600 billion with a B, huh?
So, in property tax collections that Sherry Friedenrich collected was a little over around $6 billion. Part of that was, your 1%, and then you've got your school bonds and what we call special assessments, the direct charges. So, it was, thankfully we had a great property tax system, although it was, over 30 years old. When I left, they were getting ready to upgrade it, or what they call a lift and shift, put it into a new language platform. So.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
That's probably bigger than some states, it would sound like.
Yeah, I think County of Orange, you know, compared to some states, yes. Mm-hmm. Then we have, you know, L.A. County, which is just a total animal. Yeah. Yeah, almost $1 trillion there.
Unmanageable.
Yeah.
County, huh? We had I believe it was in January 23rd or so, the council met and reappointed three of you, more than me, Lynn, and help me,
myself.
Joe, and Brad. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
I think you should have gotten a letter too from.
I did. That's
that
correct.
One.
Thank you.
Yep.
One individual who has maybe a 20-year history with us did choose not to rejoin. He'd been talking about this for several other periods, and everybody kept twisting his arm. Dan Carberg, who we owe a get in the minutes, we owe a great debt of gratitude to him. He was chairman here at some point, maybe for 7 years or so, and had a lot of new innovative ideas and carried on. So. We'll miss out. I invited him today to be honored, but we put it in the minutes. We'll send him a copy of the minutes as well.
Sure.
So we'll move on. So what that means is we have an opening on the council. So one of the things we found that has worked well in the past, it's of course open to the public and it goes into the newsletter and any other things with the city. And I think there are about four different committees that have openings now. But what has worked well was you thinking about citizens in the committee, in the community, who fit the profile of doing this. And that's worked extremely well. Some of you have come in that way. Many of you have. So think about that. Otherwise, it's they get who they get in terms of applying. We're lucky to be in Villa Park, and the demographics are such that generally a lot of folks have some pretty good financial experience. So. But yeah, make a point of if one or two people, just asking them. Probably takes asking about three to get one, would be my rule. And it's a fairly modest commitment for them to give back too. So, you know, we only meet four times a year, so maybe sometimes five with a special meeting or with a committee meeting. Okay, so that's the opening we have. In the council. Let me just update what I've seen over the council. I've attended quite a few council meetings just because we had some things that affected us. We did get the approval of the PARS as our trust. However, it wasn't good enough for PARS. We didn't have a resolution with that. So there was a resolution passed at the in the November meeting, the October meeting. They said, yes, that makes sense to do. November, we put it down formally in a resolution. In either November or December, I kind of lose track, the city council had a proposal we would only have one councilman on our committee instead of two, and not ours particularly, the advisory committee. So they were trying to spread their load a little bit. We've always had the members of the budget and finance committee on this committee, and so... Bob is now mayor, so he point you to this committee? Is that how you got here?
Well, the chair of the committee. I'm the chair of the
chair of the committee. So Bob didn't appoint him. He's a legacy. We have to take him.
No, the chair of each committee will serve on the body.
Okay. So, and maybe it was a miswording, but while I was there, I heard that the chair of the committee would be the councilman on the Citizens Advisory Committee. And I pointed out that it was a citizen advisory committee, so if you have a councilman chairing it, you might as well not have the citizen come in. And they said, no, it was misstated. However, it was in the words there, and nobody else was raising objection to it, so it might have passed through that, but I think it was just an oversight. So they changed that. So it's we've gone through that battle before where one of the mayors wanted to make the city councilman chair of this committee. So it just didn't work, you know. In fact, Steve and I had comments, if you really take it to its truest meaning, citizen advisory committee is probably best not to have anybody but citizens on it, non-councilman. However, it's worked so well here because of communication and getting it synced, and we're such a small city that it works. So we're glad to have you here, sir.
Well, first of all, you know I wouldn't allow that to pass because I fought against it the previous time.
But you were up on the guy's bias and you couldn't fight it.
What it was just a misunderstanding. What we were saying is the chair of each committee would serve on the advisory committee. Didn't mean they would be chair of the committee.
Right. However, the word said the councilman would be chair. So anyway, that's fine. That would work. It would be a different way of working, but it would work. And then in January, we had the reappointment. In December, we had a proclamation to our committee itself. I'll pass this around. That came in a nice folder like this. And they had people up there and presented that, and Bill Nelson presented it and signed it as well. So I thought, how do you pass out that folder to the committee members? So I went down to a fancy place named Michael's and got some ones to take home. So if you pass those around, and we'll get one of these to Michelle as well. Spent a lot of toil with us.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you have a place for it, but either put it in a sock drawer or somewhere. There you go. I know you're not in committee. That's fine. But you're an official. So yeah, you're vital part.
We have an extra, Bill.
Huh?
There's one extra.
Bill, do you want one?
I got one.
Okay. No. You ever got one? Pipe stone down, Frank. This is for you.
Michelle? Frank?
This is for you.
Oh, maybe.
And I will
Michelle,
get one to Michelle as well.
One.
You guys see Michelle at all? No?
I talked to her.
Yeah, exactly. He saw it out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you have an office to decorate.
Yes.
I'll get one of these to Dan. You want to get this to Michelle?
I will do that.
Yeah,
okay.
That's very
nice. And I'll
nice.
Get one to Dan. And is there anybody else that is not here that's still living? And
it's an important thing in
our committees. Well, Jim Rimes was on this committee for about 20 years.
Long time.
Yeah. Passed away about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Resigned in committee about 6 months.
We could give one to Dan,
before.
Right?
Huh? I'm going to give one to Dan. Oh, yeah, definitely Dan. Anybody else? You were chair. And who else
you
is on this committee that's still?
Seven members of the committee here, at least as I count. And you got one missing, shouldn't you have two? Isn't there always an odd number?
Well, there's an opening. We have an opening.
Yeah,
that's Dan's place, so I'll take him one.
Yeah, but don't you need one more? Don't you have to have an odd number?
Yeah, we have to have another member.
So there's an opening besides Dan's replacement.
Oh.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, I
we have two openings.
Two.
So I misspoke.
We have
two openings. Two openings. So double your efforts.
Yeah. I thought we were at an odd number. We've been at an odd number.
But they have to count to two. If they can't count to two, they don't
want
to.
Well, if we get somebody to count to four.
Okay, if they can get to four, then we can
count
half, right?
We should go for four.
So, and then we've had various councilmen on the committee, but Bill was chair and before councilman as well. Okay, so that's what happened, the update from the council. It was important to attend to that period, and then they passed a resolution. With the resolution, I'll just read that, because that's a little bit about what we're here today. I'll skip over the whereases. But Section 1, the City Council hereby adopts the PARS Public Agency Post-Employment Benefits Trust, effective November 28th. Section 2, the City Council hereby appoints a city manager or his or her successor or his or her designee as the city's planned administrator for the program. Section 3, the city planned administrator is hereby authorized to execute the PARS legal and administrative documents on behalf of the city and to take whatever additional actions are necessary to maintain the city's participation in the program and to maintain compliance of any relevant regulation issued or as may be issued, therefore authorizing him or her to take whatever actions are required to administer the city's program. So the council has signed Bill Nelson, mayor, and a 5-0 vote, which everything except your appointment, I think, had a 5-0 vote with the investment advisory committee, and that was on a technical detail that somebody was raising about. We hadn't
voted.
Something about the budget committee and who interviewed them and all that stuff. Not worth going back over now. But. So we've been very fortunate as a committee because some of the other committees have had some turmoil and 3-2 votes and kind of thing. So we're still riding that. So we'll ride it for as long as we can.
The undefeated.
And try to stay non-political. So that's a review. Thank you very much for your service to get that done. So with that, we are a new year, so we need to take nominations for the chair and vice chair, and nominations are open.
I nominate Bill Underwood. I'm sorry.
I just said we need to do the minutes first, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We do need to do the minutes.
Right.
Do you have a copy of the minutes on the table?
There's,
no.
I think there are some here.
Okay.
Let's get that in my eyes.
That was the minutes of October 18, 2017. Here's a copy if you want to pass. Here's my copy if you want to pass.
There's one right there.
So I'll give you a minute to take a look at that. Bill's got that electronically. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. That minute, that's when John joined us. And we discussed about email accounts.
Mm-hmm. And I forgot.
And we looked over the investment portfolio.
I don't even know how to get there.
The minimum amount was put in the reserve this year. And we did a trust update. And that's when Harold presented the options of eliminating the CalPERS and the PFM options and selected PARS, which got approved by the council. And the three reasons that we selected PARS was their size and their long-term investment performance, the moderate risk was slightly better than Keenan's, and the additional measure that they have an annual independent systems operation control report and also do a lot of other municipalities. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion. Let's go to move.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. So with that, do we have a nomination for chair of the committee for the next year, 2019? Yes.
I nominate Bill Underwood for chair.
Second. Close nominations.
Do we have other nominations?
No more.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have a nomination for vice chair?
I'd like to nominate Lynn.
There we go.
We'll make
eight. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. See, I didn't open it for that one. Close it.
Yay, congratulations, guys.
Thank you, congratulations. Up for another year.
And thank you.
With that, let's take a look at the next. Okay, so investment portfolio. There are some copies on the table of.
Okay. Yeah,
there
should be there.
All right, I don't have an update. No, I didn't bring it anyway. I
looked at it. Should be a copy of the treasury report as of December, and Dennis had put together investment history, a couple of pages there.
Mm-hmm. So let me see that top one there. So it looks like our estimated annual yield to maturity is what, around 2.3 or so, 2.2. It's going up slightly. When's the next maturity we have on here?
Well, there was one that just happened.
There's one this month, January. And then there's another one in July, or August, I think, coming up.
So do The
Goldman Sachs matured in January, and Sandra Wheeler rolled it over into another CD, a short-term CD.
Goldman Sachs?
Yes.
200? No, that was Walmart.
100.
Just 100. Yeah, we're trying to consolidate them into $200,000.
Yeah, so that's what I was asking. So she did have a program to try to get up to combine two if they were coming together to and get a $200,000.
We had the two, 128 and 122.
Ordinarily, what she probably would do, because there is an advantage in buying these things in the early spring that has to do with what percentage of the total amount of money we have, and she gets... This way she can get an extra CD. She would have probably wanted to borrow $100,000 from either LAIF or OCIP and then buy a $200,000 CD. She would be able to do that. Then in October or August, that $100,000 would have gone back to LAIF and we would have completed the whole thing. The whole object of this thing, it started a couple of 3 years ago. We originally wanted the ladder to only have 10 entries. It's gone up to 12 or 13. The object was to have one that came due every 6 months and spread them across the 5 years. And that's we were limited at the time to FDIC insurance at $100,000. So we couldn't do much of anything else. Now it's at 250, and we can play around at 200,000. And the whole long-term thing is to try to get 10 spread out across 6 months, and still meet the requirements of the investment guide, which is that we're limited to 3%, 30% of the total investment on CDs, which are still have turned out to be the best things that we can get because they're the most reliable. When nobody calls them, like they do
in one source, one bank.
Frank, you led me to believe, though, there was a request that this $100,000 go.
That was one of the things that Michelle had mentioned, that that this $100,000 could be used since it was being. Matured in January, that it could be used for the PARS investment. So that that would help maintain the mid long term investment portfolio.
So we take it out of the reserves instead of out of the budget.
Well, take it out of the CDs and put it in the PARS.
The question is, would it still be part of the reserve? Although
but
it's in
aren't you budgeted for $100,000 in the budget this year to put $100,000 into PARS?
Yes.
So why would you take it out of the reserve?
Well, that was a question, that Dennis and
I asked
about.
What I raised. Okay. Yeah. I raised that as a question. And, again, is everybody sure? I didn't go to the last meeting, so I don't know why, but it had to be some kind of reason. Anyhow, is everybody sure that the money that goes into PARS, the $100K, I don't believe that's refundable. That's gone, right, as far as we know.
We'll talk about that, but it's an irrevocable trust.
To me, that means it can't be part of the reserve. I would question with the legals if it's non-refundable. In other words,
the reserve, if we go into bankruptcy, you have to get it.
So I don't think it should be in there.
Right.
So I had raised that question. Frank and I have had a lot of discussions, not all of which are probably, I look upon it as me educating him. Now, that's the rest of you have to be careful, because if I educate somebody, it's going to have you with a certain point of view that some of you may not agree with. So.
I think in the past we've tried not to get tactical from the committee and getting too much into it. You guys can figure out, but we did want to have the ladder pretty evened out a little bit for a while. It was getting a little bunched up with the calls, so that we at least had extra liquidity would come available each year. And also, I think if you did something different, like taking it out of the reserves into the trust, we'd want to know about that, which I personally wouldn't be in favor of that.
Right.
My recommendation is to take $100K out of either LAIF or OCIP and buy another CD and get it. Because I think right now we're at 21%, and we can make the 30% number easily, I think, if we do that. But that would be
whatever makes sense to run in the city, because it's in the budget, so there ought to be a way to get that out without touching the reserves, hopefully. Okay, looks like the yields are going up too, I assume, at this point, with what I read. finally getting a less flat curve coming out with the 10-year.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's going that way.
Yes.
And a great deal more volatility, which says also selections of the individual securities will make a little more sense, where before we just had a market where it rose and fell together, it looked like. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you doing this. We also had in the past, we don't need that today probably, we also had a cash flow, our cash reserve for each month that she put out.
I apologize.
No apology needed. No.
All members.
This is the key one, but that's always good to see.
Sure.
There was one that was kind of laid out the cash by month for the last 10 years.
Right, right.
So.
That's the one I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You've accomplished a lot in the month and a half you've been here. Maybe with some gaps in documentation on how it all got done. That always happens in a smaller city.
Right.
Or maybe in large counties, too. Okay, with that, investment portfolio decisions ahead and the PARS trust update. We were busy with subcommittee B, which let me give props out to John and Lynn and Steve and Frank and I and Bill Nelson met on that twice, at least some of us twice. And let me pass out some information we have from that. We had this document was given to us. I didn't send copies of this because it's kind of similar to what you got in November, but they gave one, or October I should have said. Then they did one in when they came around that we passed around before. The only thing this one really had was the updates of the portfolios. It was a little different. And let me pass those out so you can kind of focus. These are two pages out of it. I'm sorry.
If anyone wants that, I have a copy I could give up.
Yeah, and I have it electronically, so just tell me if you're a keeper of those kind of presentations. The good part of the presentation, whoops, got one more. Good. So, what do you see on this one? Let me go over that. And do you have? Do you guys have these?
Yeah.
Okay. I have extra hard copies if we ran out. If you notice here, this chart is kind of interesting. It shows fairly accurately the yield and risk or volatility. We don't have betas, but to show the volatility and the expected returns. And you see, the curve is a little steep towards it gets to moderate and then evens off a little bit as it goes to balance and capital appreciation. Those terms are defined right down in the lower right that shows the balance of equities to fixed income as it goes down up to capital appreciation. So it goes about 80-20 to capital appreciation and it's about, I think, 10 to 90 or maybe 20 to 80 in conservative. I got another chart that shows that a little better. And then they keep 5% on hand for cash typically. The second chart takes the, as of December 31st, this is the update that they gave us this time around, takes the yields and show you the various yields. They haven't had the capital appreciation one for 10 years. It will almost be there next year that they'll get 10 years out of it. So that's why it didn't show the yield for that. But in 5-year yield, you see it goes from 3.7% up to 5.2%, up to 7.75%, up to 8.5%, up to 10%. So we have those choices. The volatility you see on these sheets, a page per issue, and if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of those, you'll see the active and passive volatility. So in the conservative, you see it goes from 2008, the bottom year, lost about 10%, and then went up 15% the next year, and this past year made 6% or so. In the in the moderately conservative, it went down 15% in 2008, then bounced back up to 18% and 10% the following year, and 9%. So not as much volatility in those. Where you get into the next three, where you have a higher yield, you get a little more volatility. So in 2008, the portfolio went down 23%, then bounced back to 21% the next year and 12% 2010, and then went up only 13% this year. And that you see up above the equity strategic ranges there, where it's about a 50, the moderate is a 50-50, 50-45 split. So it's a 55 in equities, 45 in fixed income, 5% in cash. And then to continue that drain, the balanced one, which has 60% equities, went down over 25% in 2008, then sprang back only 21%, and then 14% in 2009 and 10, and then in 2017 made 15%. And then finally, in capital appreciation, which we've been doing this long enough, they've been quite nice to us. I actually talked to Dennis and said, Dennis, we really appreciate you spending this time and attention to our little small city here, that where we're talking about investing $100,000 a year for 4 years. I said, we understand you're probably not making a lot of money on this. He said, yeah, but you know, somebody, I think Steve raised last time, when you look at the list of clients and you're in L.A. or Northern California, you probably don't know who Villa Park is. So, oh yeah, they do Villa Park and these other ones. He said, yeah, and you know, people who work for small cities end up working for large cities, so he's buying it for the reputation. And then his investment counselor from Highmark lives in Tustin, and he lives, I think, out here in Orange Park Acres or somewhere. Or he lives in Irvine or Wharton. So they're very close, it's easy, and they've been extraordinarily helpful for our extended decision-making system. And so I said, you call it capital appreciation. I think you start out calling that aggressive, so you're marking that a little better. Huh? So cities, you want to be an aggressive city? Which the Lake Forest has theirs in capital appreciation. And they, in 2009, 2008, they were not in existence. And then they made 23 in 2012, and 12% in this recent year, they made 16% with the balances. Yeah, it's all about equities market. And fixed. And so you'll have less volatility with fixed, but you'll have less yield with the more fixed you have in it. So our yield is about, as we saw just recently, is a little over 2%, 2.2%. These yields, if you look on this page, and let me throw out one more. This is our analysis and recommendations that we did from the committee for presentation to you guys today. And for those of you on the committee, this may look like the January 31st one, but it's been updated with the decisions that we made on this. So this anchors us back. Listen to me just a couple more minutes. Our objective was to decide on a portfolio recommendation to present to you guys today at this meeting. And to use PARs, I think we've clarified the objectives a little more on this. To invest and earn enough to obtain a 80 to 85% funded status. As CalPERS keeps bringing their discount rate down, the last time around it took us from our funded ratio from 81% down to 75.2%. So we want to keep up with that. That was a result of CalPERS just lowering the discount rate, about 25 basis points or so. I can't do the math quick enough in my mind. And their talk is, their plan at CalPERS is to lower the discount rate down to 7%. So that will continue to decrease our funded ratio. There's substantive talk that PARS talked about that they want to reduce the discount rate even further to 6%, subject to what they make. I think they made 11% this year, 10%. Extraordinarily good year for them versus some of the other ones. As they take it down to 6% or 7%, that will decrease our funded ratio as well. And we want to earn enough to get a better long-term yield with professional management. To do that, we want to build up the pension funding reserves so that other services don't get impacted in the future. You know, our income revenue stream is fairly limited stream here in the city, and we're well funded compared to other cities, but there are going to be some cities that, as they keep lowering the discount rate, which are going to have to cut police services and some other key services, which are politically tough. With that, those are the five portfolios profiled. Their equity fixed income ratios laid out, and also their past yields. We've done a lot of discussion and had folks that recommended all the way from capital appreciation to balanced to moderately conservative. The only one that didn't get any discussion was the very conservative one, which is very similar to what is being done today, and landed on investing in a moderate portfolio because it most balances the risk and return. Yields about 2.5% more than the moderately conservative for the last 5 years, and only 1.1% less than the balanced. On the next page, it compares it with if we get yields over 7%, that more than triples what our current investment yields are right now, of 2%, a little over 2% by 5% extra. So it's a step up from what we're doing today, probably qualifies from that. The rules of the game are that you can, each time you make an investment, you can invest that in whatever portfolio you want. So if we decide today that we go to moderate, and then somehow the attitudes change and we want to go up to balance, that can be fine. Or vice versa, we're getting a little, we want to back it off to moderately conservative. We're only putting in $100,000, which is, as I read other cities and their staff recommendations for PARS, you know, they were talking about where they put $6 million or $10 million. They're not, and because we're so well funded, it's not going to be a huge number to pass through that. Anyway, we'll come back to that one and take it. Active and passive, the yields that we saw down on the first page, they are gross of investment management fees, but net of the fund's embedded fund fees. So the fund managers are, those yields are after the fund manager fee, or the fund's fees. The difference, active and passive, active, for one difference, has six more funds in their portfolio. They generally have about 19 funds in the active portfolio, about 13 funds in the index passive portfolios. The passive funds use index funds, as you see on the poop sheets here on the back page of each of them. They list the funds that they're involved in, so you can see what they're. And some kind of, for personal investors, there's kind of some kind of interesting funds like the Undiscovered Managers Behavioral Value Fund, not one I'd heard of before.
Wow.
Maybe that's why it's undiscovered, huh?
But as soon as they buy something, it's
not undiscovered. So there are no differences. We talked about, I talked with Dennis afterwards, there is no difference in investment management fees for the active versus passive management. That's kind of interesting. The fees that we get on it, that I think Harold revealed this last time, they have the U.S. Bank discretionary trust fees, which are 35 basis points for trust under $5 million, which we are definitely there, and then another 25 basis points for the PARS Highmark fees. So that's how you get the total of 60 basis points fees, which is still fairly modest, but it is that does come off the does come off the yields that we looked at just a moment ago. So you take 0.6 off of that. Active or passive, we recommended the active investment management as future markets for a couple reasons. One, it seemed to make sense, but future markets, they would predict, are going to be more of a fund selector or stock market picker market. So instead of having free money and letting things ride up and down in total, it's interesting, you look in some of the years on the poop sheet, and sometimes the passive does better than the active. So I thought, oh yeah. But the,
when is a rising tide?
Yeah. Vanguard would love it. It's like, see, they even do better than the. In addition, active has outperformed passive over the last 5 years in each of the portfolios by about, it looked like about 25 basis points. So not a big point, but a little better. So we recommend the active. We can come back and discuss and vote on that. Going in strategy was planned as $100,000 a year for at least 4 years. $100,000 is budgeted for this year. could be a longer period. That's you know, that's making some assumptions. That's saying that the rates, you know, the rates are going down. That if the rates go down even further, then you probably need to put more money into that to keep the 80. So I think that Stephen talking about clarifying the objective that if we're kind of keeping the 80-85% range, that's what's going to drive the funding strategy to keep that going so we're protected.
But we're not there now, are we?
What's that? We are not there.
Given the 100,000, we're staying funded.
Given the 100,000 that we would invest this year, we would be back up there, I think, subject to people running the numbers. But we're at 75.2, as I understand it right now. So we'll have to keep watching that and then keep the funding strategy. But since we're already budgeted and the year's underway and we'd like to get us underway, then that would get us up to... Now, when did they do the actuarial readjustments or the funding ratios? We got that last year?
Two years and a half ago.
Year and a half ago. So they do them every year? No.
Every couple years.
Yeah. Okay. So probably would do for one after this.
Right.
So that's C says that we'll stay flexible in the annual funding policy going forward to meet a target to stay in that. Reporting and review strategy, we did clarify that. They will, Frank, send you the monthly account balances and rate of return, or monthly they'll send you the account balances and rate of returns.
Right.
Then quarterly they'll send you the quarterly investment management report, which you could figure out what numbers in that you want to put in our quarterly meeting notes, depending on when it came. And then Keith Stribling, who is our account manager, more than account manager, he's the senior investment advisor, senior investment manager for PARS, happens to live down here instead of up in Northern California, so he would come to our meeting annually, whenever that was, and report on their investment management report, the outlook they see ahead in the markets, and what it are. If markets changed, they were changing their approach to markets, they would come in and talk to us about that. So we'll be at a kind of a policy level, kind of back at that point, but at least an oversight to back you guys up.
Sure.
Okay. And they're again, of course, they're still selling, but they were very accommodating with that. And that seemed to be their regular policy. They advised, and I think we, the majority of us, thought we need a separate but short investment policy separate for the pension irrevocable trust, because it's under code 53216, which is opens us up to more types of investments, so it's passed for this. The reason for that code, I guess, was the fact that it was a longer-term investment and we could be diversified over years, whereas it's fairly limiting if you look at our code right now, where it's a five-year can't risk when we don't risk smart principal. PARS and Highmark said they could supply some other cities examples of this policy, since we're not plowing new ground here. I asked them for it, and I got their staff examples of staff recommendations to city council, which I'd already trolled the internet, had those, and I've sent back and said, no, I really want this, and I have received no answer. That was a week and a half ago. I think as we report back to them, as we want this, as we report back to what our portfolio is, they will be responsive for that. Keith, have you all met Keith, most of you? Keith is very responsive, not as responsive as Dennis, but very with the market, very intelligent, and has worked many of the cities that PARS has gone on. So they've got really good knowledge of what's going on at this point. And our crack memory remembered that Joe McCarthy and Lynn Doty raised their hands and said they would volunteer to draft this document. So it's not an irrevocable trust, but if you guys are still willing, that would be great. You guys could take the lead. I could give you Dennis's number and you could follow up with him with what you needed. But I think, again,
it's not gonna be a big deal.
And I have not, if you want, I have not Googled investment policy statements for section for the irrevocable trust. Section 115, right?
Maybe it's Section 115.
Too many numbers today. With that discussion on those decisions, we're open. And yes, Dennis, we will lose money some years, but we will make money other years. Dennis and I were probably the most hesitant on the committee when it first came in. Said, "Whoa, this seems a little."
Well, you stalled long enough that
we did stall.
Have some market correction.
We never said no. We
yeah.
stalled.
Yeah.
Now we were waiting for a market correction.
Yeah,
yeah
right.
Tell us
yeah.
why we are.
Yeah.
Can I screw with greed affection for the other investments because I can see money coming in every
That's right.
month?
Well, we gave
I like the idea of money
yeah,
coming
nice
in.
Yeah, nice steady. It's easy to defend.
So over the long term, it makes more money.
We hope.
We hope. Past results are not an indication of future
performance.
There we go.
That's the city council, you guys. I think the city council is going to take your recommendations because in the last 5 years, your recommendations have done nothing but made money for the city. And as long as
as you pointed out here,
we're still making
very
money.
Well.
Yeah, we'll come back. Let's come back to those as we finish.
Yes,
no, discussion. Sure.
Finish your thing.
And then kudos to Bill. Bill Nelson really brought this opportunity to us from a conference he attended, and that was
a good idea.
2 years
before
ago.
You were on the council.
2 years ago.
No,
it was when you were on the council. Yeah,
no, it was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking three.
But you introduced
us to Sandra. Yeah, that was several years ago.
And the council has been very supportive with this, and some saying, let's go faster. Some others say, oh, wait a minute. So with that, how about the portfolio selection for the first $100,000? Any objections to that?
I move we recommend that to the council.
How about the active versus passive? Sorry. Okay. How about the going-in strategy of $100,000 a year for the last 4 years, brought to us by Michelle?
Yeah, I just think we should change that wording a little bit.
But staying open as CalPERS interest change. Yes,
why,
sir.
Why I wasn't here when it started. Why did they limit it to the 100,000? I don't. It seems to me the more money you swap into something that's getting a better rate of return, the faster we.
So I think it was. I think it was because at the time we were about 81% funded or so, and
okay.
you wanted to stay. Advisors generally say you don't want to go up because of the actuarial assumptions underneath it that can change as
Got
well
it.
As the issues. You didn't want to stay much more than about 80-85% funded.
Okay.
So it said if we put in that, we would stay in that range.
But why would you not want to be overfunded? I mean, I don't understand
the logic
of being underfunded.
So when I was on the grand jury, I went in detail underneath the actuarial assumptions for the funded and unfunded.
Right.
And it's black magic. I mean, it's
it's like at your house.
It's
would
well
you rather
informed,
not have a loan or have
it's
a loan?
It's well informed
loan.
Guesses by the actuarials.
Isn't it also something to do with CalPERS limiting us? We have to put money in CalPERS.
You have to.
And we have to put a certain amount in CalPERS each year. So it was also partly dependent on that, as
okay.
I recall.
Well, this is
it's an improvement from CalPERS.
This is
we don't have a choice. CalPERS
well, that was my
requires.
So CalPERS, we have to put the money in.
So this
even
is
an
additional contribution beyond the normal contribution each year. Yeah.
Okay.
So
we're limited
no.
on cash flow then. We have to put this amount into CalPERS. And
this is
well, no. We have to put there's a calculated amount we have to put in every year.
Yes.
In CalPERS.
In CalPERS. Yeah. We will make that contribution. This $100,000 is a separate, it doesn't go to CalPERS.
Right.
Right.
So this is a set aside, well, the other side, and this will help reduce our potential liability down the road, but it doesn't go to CalPERS yet.
Right.
Right.
I'm just saying that CalPERS, we couldn't get that much money because we had to give some to CalPERS
yeah.
still.
Yeah, well, as I said, we couldn't take the whole thing and throw it in there because
right.
we had to CalPERS,
right.
let's say $600,000.
And they penalize heavily
if you don't take
money out or you.
Yeah, the other concern is
okay.
that there's capacity of what the budget can afford to put
right,
in.
Right, that's the cash flow. That's what
the cash flow is.
Right.
That's sort of the
so
other.
We have this much we can invest, we have to put this much in CalPERS,
right.
we handicap ourselves, we put this much over here.
Right, then we eventually end up saying, well, okay, well, maybe we have to, you know, if we do this, then we're cutting police services or cutting something else.
No, we don't do
so
that.
I think that was the sort of the point.
I'm with you.
What our budget could basically afford without.
Right. With
although
some
we should probably revisit that. Now, since we've been talking about this for 2 years, let's resolve to revisit
though,
that.
They started this whole program at $100,000 and we made a couple mistakes, and we adjusted, and 100,000 was a nice number to work with.
Okay.
And I think the console will be comfortable with it.
Okay.
So my first thing is comfort.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get it in.
Trying to understand the logic. If it works good, and you've got the money, and they've got the money to increase it, then I don't think this wording limits you from increasing it if it looks good.
Yeah.
It's just going in to begin with, rather than diving in.
I think we talked about walk before we run.
Right.
So we kind of eased into this. Right. Let's put
it. I'm not saying now I understand in the future. I didn't understand why it was like.
It's been so long. It's been like 2 years since we came up with
it. There are two other possibilities.
So I'm saying we should reevaluate that sooner than 4 years from now.
There are two other possible reasons too. Is one, it's irrevocable, so it goes in, it doesn't come out except for this purpose.
Correct.
Two, dollar cost averaging as the rates change may make some sense. Often when you invest in things, you take it in thirds and go up, so almost like our laddering. We're not interested in chasing rates, but we're riding that market. So I think that's where it came about. Is it irrevocable? No. I mean, not wrong word. Is it irreversible? No.
Yeah.
So you still got the flexibility to do that.
Every year the budget, it's a policy, and the council has the ability to amend that policy as they see fit.
Right.
With a majority vote.
So we need to put that in as we.
Well, we're recommending locking it in for 4 years. I think we should change that to 2.
Well, we really didn't. We said stay flexible on the annual funding policy going forward to meet a target of things. I actually don't think 400 is going to be enough. I think if you take the negative, I'm always a negative guy.
Right.
If you take the negative, the downside scenario of that, planning for that, and I guess I'm a positive guy, but plan for the negative. I think if you run the numbers again on going down to 6%.
We're going to have to put more in because we've got to get a better investment.
That's correct.
That's my concern.
Yeah. So, but since it's already budgeted for 100 this year, if they did 200 next year, if they saw a lot.
Well, yeah, the 6.
Because I think you're
going
to put more
in. Going down to 7% is over a 5-year, so I think the CalPERS was dropping. It wasn't like 1 year, it was like a 5-year plan. So I think that's where going down to 6% was sort of a longer term, very long term. And candidly, you will probably bankrupt some cities who have their own police departments or fire departments because it's just,
they can't handle it. Right?
There's a lot of pressure both ways on that.
To not do it.
So it's a very unfortunate. CalPERS is a very political process. It's not a financial process. I think what the goal was to sort of provide stability for us and put aside what we could reasonably afford. There's a lot of unfunded infrastructure needs we have elsewhere in the city.
Right.
So if you say, well, let's put it all away and lock ourselves in.
We're tied.
Well, we had last year, as exemplified, we had a flood. A storm drain collapse.
Right.
And we have to end up potentially paying for it. So if we lock our money, we were great funded for CalPERS, but we can't afford to keep our streets in in safe condition. So I think that was sort of the logic is, as a minimum of 100,000, we reevaluate continually, like Lynn said.
That's what I said. As long as the minutes or whatever we write up give us the flexibility to recommend something a year from now if we change it. So here's at least the initial plan is 100 for 4 to be evaluated annually and adjusted as recommended.
Which is the C in 5, it's number 5.
Number 5, okay. I don't like the whole number 5 wording.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion, I guess.
Okay.
To say,
you don't have to make a motion. Just tell us what you want.
Going in strategy was planned as 100,000 a year to be reevaluated. I'd like to do it in 1 year, but if people think we should do longer.
I agree. We should evaluate. We should make a recommendation annually to the council. The council can decide to say no, but I think there should be an annual review recommendation on how much.
I think he's saying that on the number C.
I thought I covered.
And he's saying that on the 5C that you're going to evaluate.
Put C in red.
And I would also change C though and leave out the word staying of and say to meet target of funding in the 80-85% range because we are not at 80%.
So what do you want that to say?
So I want to say going forward to meet target of being funded in the 80-85% range, not leaving out the word staying.
Stay flexible? You don't want to stay
flexible?
Stay flexible.
5C. Oh, 5C.
But then to meet the target of being, because we're not 80-85 right now, we're at 79.
In other words, staying becomes being.
Okay.
That's a good
Right.
All of
agreed.
This is going to be covered in this document.
So I just don't think we should handicap ourselves right in.
Everything I'm fine with, and I would leave out Keith Stribling's name.
Well,
because he may leave or something. Just for the recommendation to the City Council,
okay.
I think we should have something a little more. Exactly what we want them to do.
Right.
So I saw this as a document for us, quite frankly.
But I think it's a great document. Otherwise, I just would change this thing. Number five.
So let's go. So we've got on funding strategy. It sounds like going in strategy was planned as $100,000 a year. For at least 4 years, that's still in there, or we take that out?
No, I think
yeah.
we should.
Okay, to be reevaluated annually, 100,000 is budgeted this year.
We have to budget each year, so the budget, it's an automatic evaluation.
Okay.
That we have to do annually.
Reevaluated annually in the budget.
Can we just leave out for at least 4 years?
Right. It's a decision, a strategy, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, budgetarily, I think there's a report back every year as part of the budget.
Right.
We want to increase, we want to decrease, you know, whatever we have
to do. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think just if we're going to give this to the council and the council's going to vote on something, it should be clearly stated that the initial plan is to do this for 4 years, but each year there will be an update recommendation from the IAC.
I think our job is to present it back to the city manager and finance director who have authorization from the city council to operate and do as they wish.
Right.
And if they wish to be... bring the council on board for that. Hopefully,
yeah, well, budgetarily, we'll have to report to the council what we're putting aside. Cause
right, you follow what I'm saying? You want it very clearly because I don't want 3 years from now somebody says, "Well, no, this is how I interpret what they said."
Yeah.
It has to be 100, and it has to be for four, and that's it. And you can't go 110, and you can't go 90, and you know.
So I will take this wording and send it to all of us electronically so we have a copy of that.
Let me beat this.
That's my only order.
Oh, good. Five is titled funding strategy.
Yeah, it says
To me, the strategy seems to be that we, going forward, want to meet the target of staying in the 80 to 85% range.
Right.
To me, that's a strategy.
That's the strategy, right.
Okay. How are we going to do that? Well, one is we have decided that for the first year we budgeted $100,000.
Right. And we're going to
that's
evaluate.
That's not a strategy. That is
that's
an
implementation,
action
right.
supporting the strategy.
Correct.
So funding tactics, you're saying, or funding?
Yeah, I guess I would rearrange this
it.
Some. And this is my opinion is that really the first A would be more like, okay, what is really the strategy? And the strategy is 80-85% range.
Yeah, part C should be the strategy, and then A and B would be implementation to support that. So I just don't want to get things tied up. And like I said, a few years from now, names changes, people change, and people just change the interpretation, and they get in some big argument about it.
Okay, so done. Other comments on this? So this is the funding strategy with the supporting tactics to make that happen, supporting operations to make that happen. Okay.
When do we think this will actually transpire, that money will actually go in?
We have money budgeted this year, so...
Oh, I know, but I mean, next month, is it still 6 months?
Well, it should be before June 30th.
It will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would suspect that we'll get to the council in March.
Yeah.
Okay. We're already, you know...
Okay, I just wondered how long...
We'll get to the council in March. They'll agree to the, you know, the... investment policy. And I think one of the things that candidly, my gut feel is if we're going to recommend a policy, we ought to also have the, if we're going to recommend an approach, we also have the policy with it. So if we can do the same, I don't want to
tickle
it in later. And, you know, so I don't know where your timing
okay.
is. So I don't mean to, you never want to ask a question because you're afraid what's going to come back. Well, Joe, it's coming back. It's like, how fast can we get the policy?
Exactly.
So put together, because I think the council will rightfully say, okay, we'll go for this, but what's your strategy? Where's your policy? Where is it, you know, where is it inked?
So we can
bless it all.
Right, and be finished.
And be finished, I think that's, if it takes till March or April, we're fine. We just need
okay,
to,
we'll get
I want a package.
Right.
Yes.
Ask and answered.
Feel like you've been assigned?
Well, we have
but
been.
It should happen before the end of this year.
Yes.
Well, I'm just thinking about the policy for this, and we already have an investment policy overall.
Big one, yeah.
The big one. that at least from a format or something, we should probably have some consistency in at least formatting. I know this is for a different purpose.
Yeah. I have it on my computer, so.
Okay.
I probably also consider this appendix to the existing policy.
That's a good idea.
That way, it would once you have it, then it would fall into the same review cycles.
Good idea.
I can't remember. Did we go to 2 years on the
individual
policy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Two years. 2 years. Three, okay.
No, we asked for three, got two.
Two.
Okay. Yeah, we asked for three, knowing that if they wanted to be negative on it, then you could come back to two, versus if we asked for two, and they wanted to be negative on it, they could come back to one, so, yeah.
This is the off year, right? You're not
yeah, off year. Okay, finally, so like we can, those of you who need to leave promptly will get this finally done. Reporting is not a strategy, I guess. Reporting is the reporting review option. Process, and then the investment policy, we can add there that needs to be done and presented to the council this fiscal year. Okay.
Well, let me ask this, Steve. When do you want to have the policy at the same time you have all these others?
Yeah, that's
what you're saying.
So I would suggest that maybe we review the policy at our April meeting and go to the council in May.
Does that give any leeway if there's questions or you know, it's thrown back or something, and then
I would say we have them get their schedule out of getting this done and then pass that policy electronically by the committee. That's legal in the other way, and then gather the comments from people there. If we have substantial comments, then we have a little quick special meeting go over that instead of waiting for our quarterly schedule and the back end of that doing that.
You think that'll weaken us?
I quite frankly think
it'll weaken us with the council and not have it approved at our regular meeting.
No, he said have special meetings. I understand. Yeah. Have a special meeting before that.
Do it electronically to get the review done, and if it's all looks good, pass through. If it's short and simple, it shouldn't be too tough. And then do, if you have wording, housekeeping things, we could do that, and we could have an electronic vote or come together and have a quick special meeting. Subject to the schedule you provided us, but the more we do up front, the more we kind of cut and paste and get things going. My sense is your first policy could be a little bit rougher than the annual or biannual rejiggering that we do of the policy and the wording. Yeah. Okay, so we'll talk about that. So the issue would be we need to bring the investment policy along with this decision.
Yes.
There is something about, you may want to check in the all those piles of agreements that PARS gave you that to be signed, or some were already kind of pre-signed, they start the clock at some point. Look back on exactly when that is, because the council passed a resolution that it would be effective November 29th, and if there's a six-month thing or something, that had some fees, that money that passes hands. Okay. Do I have a motion that we adopt these recommendations, subject to modifications of wording that would come forth?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much for your attention. With the agenda, I think that's pretty, I've lost my agenda, so that's probably good for the meeting.
Next meeting is April 18th at 8 o'clock.
There you go.
Yeah, is there anything else on the agenda that I missed?
New ideas.
Huh? New ideas. Yeah, so think about your new ideas. Thank you for coming in, being generous with your time. Thank you for taking the next step. And if you guys need help or assistance, let us know that as well.
Thank you for
joining on board and getting up to speed so quickly.
Congratulations on your reappointment.
and to you, too.
Okay,
yeah, thanks very much, guys. Have a good quarter.
Do you know Mark Thomas?
KPMG lead for Chapman.
He just moved his
family to Bill's Harbor.
Oh, he did.
So he's really good. He's actually the National Higher Education Practice Lead for KPMG. And they just moved and took their kids in Lutheran Higher.
Oh,
so
great.
Does that seem like the kind of person that we should reach out to?
Yeah, the thing is just make it clear, you know, the time commitment that you put in is, you know, that's all. That's the only, I mean, it'd be wonderful.
I think you have to agree that he's very well qualified. He's also civically minded, so he might welcome an opportunity to
help partner on your account.
Not only that, but he's also
you also have the head of the higher education
practice for the mission
for KPMG.
He's a very he'd be a good addition.